Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you, Lord, for your grace and mercies. Thank you for your helps you have sent into our lives. Thank you for your presence and power walking in us and through us. Thank you, Lord, for making your will known to us concerning issues of this life. Thank you for guiding us by your Holy Spirit into all righteousness. Thank you for defending us when the enemy came to hurt us. Thank you, Father. We thank you for your light that is shining on our hearts and minds. Thank you for your light that is revealing your mind to us as we meditate on your word, as we study your word. Your light kept on exposing the truth to us. Thank you, Lord. We thank you for the opportunities you have sent into our lives to enable us to fulfill our callings. Thank you for helping us to learn things we did not know for a long time. The deep things of your kingdom, the deep things of your personality. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for this ministry that you are using to enlighten people, to edify people, save souls, deliver many, and revive many. Thank you, Lord, for how you have been using our Bible study teachings to set people free from their darkness and pollution. Thank you, Lord. Oh, we have come before you once again as learners, as students, so that you may instruct us and enlighten us and teach us. Oh, Lord, speak to us expressly so that we may grow in the knowledge of you. Even today, in Jesus' name. I hand over myself to you that you will speak through me in such a way that everyone listening will understand very clearly the matters of this discussion. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father, because we know you will do beyond our requests. Blessed be your holy name. In Jesus' unfailing name, we have prayed. Amen. Amen. I welcome every one of you to the Lord's presence. We are going to continue from where we stopped during the last Bible study class, and today we'll be looking at witchcraft and character. Witchcraft and character. And you know that this is point number 5 under part 4 of our teaching series. Yeah, witchcraft and character. I'll be showing you how witchcraft is inside character, especially negative or unrighteous, ungodly, unclean character. Yeah, I will be showing you how witchcraft can be seen in some human characters or human behaviors and attitude, how witchcraft can be demonstrated through character. Yeah. And also you will also learn how our negative and ungodly character, how they can take us deep into witchcraft. Yeah, how those characters we have failed to deal with and to separate from, how they can take us deep into the darkness of witchcraft. Yeah, so those are the things we'll be looking at tonight. I want you to open your Bibles to Isaiah 66. Isaiah 66. I'm going to read verse 3 and 4. Isaiah 66. Verse 3 and 4. I believe you have opened to that place. Isaiah 66, verse 3 and verse 4. He that killeth an ox is as if he slew a man. He that sacrificeth a lamb as if he cut off a dog's neck. He that offereth an oblation as if he offered swine's blood. He that burneth incense as if he blessed an idol. Yea, they have chosen their own ways, and their soul delighteth in their abominations. Verse 4, I also will choose their delusions, and will bring their fears upon them. Because when I called, none did answer. When I speak, they did not hear, but they did evil before mine eyes, and chose that in which I delighted not. Praise the Lord. Yeah, if you see those verses, if you read through those verses critically, line by line, you will see how the character of the people spoiled their sacrifices before God. Yeah, the character of the people made their sacrifices before God to be abominations. How will I put it? their actions before God was reflecting opposite of what they meant or of what that action means. Yeah. He said, it says in verse 3, Isaiah 66, verse 3, he that killeth and hawks as if he slew a man. Yeah, because the character of those people is wrong. Their lifestyles, their way of life is unrighteous. So that spoiled their sacrifices before God. It made their sacrifices before God to be unacceptable, number one, and then to become abominations. Yeah, it makes good sacrifices bad. So they were offering something good and nice, but in the realm of the spirit, it was something different. I don't know how I can explain it better. They are good sacrifices, in quotes. I mean, to the physical eyes, those sacrifices are good, because even God commanded that such sacrifices should be done in His temple. Yeah, so physically speaking, nothing is wrong with those sacrifices. Yeah, but because of their negative character, the sacrifices that were supposed to be good and acceptable became evil and abominations. So what was supposed to be good turned into darkness. Though physically it might look good to everyone, but spiritually it is unclean, unholy, unrighteous. Spiritually it is an abomination. I don't know if I get to my point. Yeah, let me bring it down to our own dispensation, to our own time now. You know that singing songs in the church, dancing in God's presence is a very good thing. Of course, there is nothing wrong with that. Yeah, those are good sacrifices that we should praise God and worship Him and glorify Him. Very good sacrifice before the Lord. But if we do that in wrong character or with wrong character, it will become a foul smelling foul-smelling and rotten sacrifice before God. You know, when something has spoiled, the way it smells horrible, that's how such sacrifice that we offer with wrong and evil character before God. I mean, someone whose character is bad and unrighteous, when that person offers sacrifices before God, they appear as rotten and smelling rubbish. Yeah, to the point that even God's angels cannot stand the stink of that sacrifice, because there is a negative and unclean character present. I believe you understand me. So this is a serious matter, a very serious matter. Imagine that you put together some amount of money, and you say, "Oh God, this is my sacrifice. This is the sacrifice of my family. We are giving this money to your work and to your ministers, so that the work of your kingdom can move forward." And then you offer that sacrifice, and then God consider it as a smelling and rotten and unacceptable sacrifice. How will you feel if maybe God open your eyes and you can see in the spirit that what you have given to God was rejected, even though the ministry you gave to did not know whether it was acceptable or not, or the man of God that received the offering did not know whether God accepted it or not, because he might not know, since God did not show him. But the point is that several of our sacrifices have been rejected because of our negative character. Yeah, things that should be sweet smelling savour before the throne of God. I mean, sacrifices that God should smell becomes what irritates God. Yeah. And the funny thing is that many of these sacrifices has filled our churches. When we sing, we dance, but they never reach anywhere. I mean, those singing and dancing, they never of the church, because the lifestyle and character of the person singing and dancing is wrong before God. So the lifestyle has corrupted the sacrifice. I don't know if you still get what I'm saying. So in that Isaiah 66 verse 3 and 4, God was telling the people, he said, when you kill an ox, it looks to me that as though you have killed a human being. It says, when you sacrifice a lamb, it looks to me as though you have just cut off the neck of a dog. Yeah, because you can't sacrifice dogs to God in those days. Yeah, so God began to mention things that even they themselves know that he hates those things. God began to mention that your sacrifices that you think are good, they are not different from when you sacrifice human being or dogs or pigs. Yeah, because of your negative and unrighteous character. I don't know if a connection between character and witchcraft. Let me read from New Living Translation. Isaiah 66. Verse 3 and 4. But those who choose their own ways, delighting in their detestable sins, will not have their offerings accepted. When such people sacrifice a bull, it is no more acceptable than a human sacrifice. When they sacrifice a lamb, it is as though they had sacrificed a dog. When they bring an offering of grain, they might as well offer the blood of a pig. When they burn frankincense, it's as if they had blessed an idol. Verse 4, I will send them great trouble, all the things they feared. For when I called, they did not answer. When I spoke, they did not listen. They deliberately sinned before my very eyes and chose to do what they know I despise. That is very heartbreaking. God said they chose to do what they know he despised. When he spoke to them, they did not listen. They deliberately sinned before his very eyes. And after they have done all of that, they now came before God offering sacrifices. When in their character they have denied God, in their attitudes they have rebelled against God, because it says that they chose their own ways. That is rebellion. Yeah, so in their characters, in their attitudes, they have turned away from the truth, and yet they come with sacrifices, they come with tithes, they come with offerings, they come with dancing, singing, and they thought God is a fool and that he will accept those things. Never. He will not accept. Your pastor might accept because he doesn't know your secret lifestyle. He doesn't know what is going on in your mind. So, and since God did not show him, he might accept the offering, the tithe. But that doesn't mean heaven have accepted that sacrifice. I don't know if you are getting the point. So that is the connection between character and witchcraft. So it is witchcraft when you are offering sacrifices that is unacceptable in the sight of God. It is witchcraft because people that would perform human sacrifices. Yeah, and God said, when your ways are not right before him, killing an ox, it becomes the same with killing a human being. So when something is wrong with our character, the good things we would normally do before God would appear before God as witchcraft, would appear before God as idol worshipping. It would appear before God as abominations. Yeah, so that is why we must be very careful. So a lot of good things and holy things that have been given to us as Christians to do in the church, many of them have turned to abominations before God. Many of them. Even spiritual gifts like prayer, speaking in tongues, and many spiritual gift demonstrations, many of them have turned to abominations because they are being handled by people with toxic characters, people with dangerous and unrighteous characters. Yeah, the Bible said that They have a form of godliness. But that form of godliness is void of power. Yeah, let me read for you. They have a form of godliness. Yeah, in 2 Timothy chapter 3 verse 5. 2 Timothy chapter 3 verse 5. It says, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. Yeah, so it's showing that these people have a form of godliness. They present, they show, they demonstrate a form of godliness. But that godliness lacks the power that should follow it. Yeah, and the reason why that godliness lacks the power is because something is wrong in their character. I don't know if you get it. So they have a form of godliness, and we know examples of those form of godliness. Like some of them, they dress decently. Yeah, decent dressing is a form of godliness. Preaching the gospel is a form of godliness. Praying, fasting. There are forms of godliness. Healing the sick, casting out devils. They are all forms of godliness. Speaking in tongues, interpreting tongues. So many things in the church today are forms of godliness, but they lack the power that usually follow those godliness. Yeah, they lack the power. And what kills the power is our character. Yeah. In fact, some people, they would prefer to do business with an unbeliever than to do business with a believer, with a Christian. Yeah, because they have met some Christians with bad characters, and from that time, from the day they had that experience with those kinds of Christians, they made up their minds that they would never have anything to do with Christians again. Yeah. So our character makes things that should be powerful to become powerless. Things that in the days of the apostles, when the apostles began the church, yeah, because the church started from the Acts of the Apostles. Things that when the church started were powerful things and were supposed to continue to be powerful have been turned into powerless things because of our character. I don't know if you are getting my point. The way people should respond to the preaching of the gospel, people no longer respond that way after they have heard the preaching of the gospel, because even the preacher lack the character that should follow the preaching of the gospel. Yeah. So many things that were supposed to be full of power in the church today have become powerless and weak because our character has gone bad and even gone worse. Yeah. Let us move to another scripture. Don't forget, we are looking at witchcraft and character. Witchcraft and character. Let us open to the book of 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel chapter 28. 1 Samuel 28. I read verse 6 to 7. 1 Samuel 28, verse 6 to 7. And when Saul inquired of the Lord, the Lord answered him not, neither by dreams, nor by Urim, nor by prophets. Then said Saul unto his servants, seek me a woman that hath a familiar spirit, that I may go to her and inquire of her. And his servant said to him, behold, there is a woman that hath a familiar spirit at Endor. Yeah, some of you or many of you are familiar with this story. If you read the same 1 Samuel chapter 15 verse 23, you will see how praise the Lord. Okay, yeah, I think the next book was fluctuating. Yeah, I think if you take 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 23, you would see how God condemned the attitude of Saul, the king. Yeah, God condemned his act of rebellion, act of disobedience. He was given an instruction to destroy the people of Amalek, the Amalekites. But he did not follow the instruction as was commanded. Yeah, he chose to do his own. He felt like he's the king. So he doesn't have to follow God's instruction. Follow God's instructions to the letter. He can choose to also do certain things in his own way. Then he was condemned and judged by God for doing that. He was not pardoned. Immediately God judged him, and God began to say that he would take the kingdom from him. And you know the rest of the story. Yeah, God said he would give the kingdom to somebody else better than him. Yeah, so that was the beginning of the rebellion of King Saul. Now, I want you to connect that first Samuel verse 23 to the place we just read, 1 Samuel 28, verse 6-7. You'll be able to confirm that indeed rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. Because eventually Saul ended up on something witchcraft. Is the Lord. Is the network better now? If it's better, let me know. I mean, if my voice is clearer or clear, let me know. Yeah, so I was saying that if you connect 1 Samuel 15 verse 23, if you connect it with 1 Samuel 28 verse 6-7, you will see that eventually Saul ended up going deeper into witchcraft. It confirms what the prophet said when he said rebellion is a sin of witchcraft. Psalm 15:23. For rebellion is a sin. This is a sin. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. And stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he hath also rejected thee from being king. Now, it says, because thou has rejected the word of the Lord. He has also rejected thee from being king. The law. Okay, it's like everyone is experiencing the problem. I've tried switching to another network provider, but it's still the same. May the Lord give us a good network. I think I'll just continue. I will continue, and I will trust God that the network will be fine. Praise the Lord. I'm going to continue, and I will try and record this other part as an audio. So if you still can't hear my voice very well because of the network, I will send this I will send the rest of this teaching as a separate audio, just for to catch up. But I will continue the teaching while I'm recording the other part of the teaching, that is the part from this point where the network is not stable. Now, I was saying that I was saying that if you connect First Samuel chapter 15 verse 23 with First Samuel 28 verse 6-7, you will see that what God said through prophet Samuel about witchcraft is true. In 1 Samuel 15 verse 23, the prophet told King Saul that he said, "For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he hath also rejected thee from being king." And now you can confirm that in 1 Samuel 28, verse 6-7, that Paul now went further in his rebellion to consult a witch at Endor. Paul went further in his rebellion. He went deeper into witchcraft, meaning that his rebellion got stronger, and the stronger the rebellion, the deeper he entered, or the deeper he began to sink into witchcraft. The deeper he began to sink into witchcraft. So you will see in that verse 6, 1 Samuel 28 verse 6, it says, "And when Saul inquired of the Lord answered him not, neither by dreams, nor by Urim, nor by prophets." So all the channels through which all the channels through which Saul could hear from God were blocked because of rebellion. God, since he turned away from God, God also turned away from him. He was unrepentant. He was not willing to surrender to the will of God. So God stopped speaking to him. And that led him to go deeper into witchcraft. And that led him to go deeper into witchcraft. Now, what can we learn from this? We can learn that it is easy for spiritual people that are once close to God, people that operate in spiritual gifts and anointing, people that are once been hearing from God, receiving messages from God. It is very easy for such people to enter into witchcraft, especially when when their character gets dark and evil. Yeah, which makes them to lose their connection with God, their closeness with God. So once their character gets toxic and unacceptable before God, it is very easy for such people to turn into witchcraft. They will still want to. They will still want to continue to enjoy God's power. They want to continue to enjoy the spiritual realms. Yeah, I think that's the best way to put it. Continue to enjoy the supernatural. Yeah, but since they cannot climb anymore from God, because God have left them, many of them now enter into witchcraft. That is, many of them now begin to do things that are not biblical. Yeah, things that attract demons. Yeah, so they feel like I just need to. By myself. Things I cannot have what I used to have with God before. Then I just need to look for ways to solve this out. Yeah, so some of them consulting false prophets. Some of them they start consulting materials, books. The spiritual words that are not according to the Bible, and in so doing they end up in witchcraft. Yeah, and some of them even have to look for cults, demonic cults, secret cults. And they join those cults because they could no longer have the benefits and the pleasures they were having with God before. Yeah. They could no longer have the benefits, the pleasures that they get from God. So they felt they should turn to another source that could give what they had lost in their fellowship with God. Yeah, since God had left them because of their negative character, so they felt they still need to continue to enjoy the supernatural. Yeah, so they felt they should seek other sources, other spiritual sources that will satisfy their needs. Yeah. So that was what happened to Saul. So eventually, his rebellion took him deeper his witchcraft, to the point that he began to consult all kinds of darkness. He began to consult witches. The people he was against when he started ruling as a king. Yeah, if you read verse 9 of that 1 Samuel 28, you'll see that Saul at certain times waged war against everyone practicing witchcraft, everyone operating with marine and with familiar spirits. So at the time persecuted people, he killed many of them. But now, after he had turned away from God and God had turned away from him, he was now visiting the same people he had once stopped and denied. Yeah, I pray that we would not get to that point. Yeah, I pray that you will not get to that point. Yeah, even if you happen to have fallen in your walk with God, or whenever you happen to fall, I pray that you rise again before it will be too late, in Jesus' name. So now we're going to look at some other scriptures. Now, we're going to look at hunger. Now, I have just talked on rebellion, how it takes a man deep into witchcraft. So now, I'll be speaking on anger. Let us read Matthew 5, verse 21-22. Matthew chapter 5, 21-22. Matthew chapter 5, 21-22. Ye have heard, ye have heard that it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not kill, and whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of the judgment. But I say to you that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of judgment. And whosoever shall say to his brother Raka shall be in danger of counsel. But whosoever shall say thou fool shall be in danger of hellfire. Now, anger is one of those characters that stirs up witchcraft. It stirs up the spirit of witchcraft and empowers the spirit of witchcraft to do terrible things. In fact, in the sight of God, anger is equal to anger is equal to killing. So that was why Jesus said that. Jesus said in verse 21, he said, ye have heard that it was said by them of some time, thou shalt not kill, and whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of the judgment. Now, Jesus is connecting killing to getting hungry. In verse 22, Jesus said, but I say unto you that whosoever is his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. You know the kind of anger Jesus is talking about here is a kind of uncontrollable anger, and maybe as you call it, unreasonable anger. A kind of anger that is based on things that does not, things that things that shouldn't be a reason for getting hungry. So that's why he said that getting angry without a cause. Is equal to killing that person. That is getting angry and then even after the person has apologized, you still continue to be angry at the person. And even after you have read the Bible or you remember that Jesus said that you should forgive everyone that offends you, that even if it has been 70 times, 7 times, you should forgive that person. Even after you have seen that in the scripture, you still continued to be angry at the person, then that is equal to killing that person. It means you're getting angry based on an unacceptable ground before God. Yeah, you're getting angry based on a reason that is unacceptable before God. And in fact, we have some people that they will get angry without any reason. If you ask them that, what exactly is the reason for this your anger, they might not be able to point at any reason. That is witchcraft. Yeah, that is witchcraft. So you should really ask God to deliver you from the spirit of anger. And not only that, even the spirit of hatred. Let us read 1 John chapter 3, verse 15. First John 3, verse 15. It says, whosoever hated his brother is a murderer. And he knew that no murderer had eternal life abiding in him. So even hatred is murder. Hatred is murder in the realm of the spirit, in the science of God. Yeah. God sees hatred and anger as killing people. Yeah. So, which means many believers, they have their hands full of blood. Because they are being moved by anger and hatred. It's just the same with when Jesus said that if you look at a woman or you look at a man and you lust after that person in your heart, you have already committed sexual immorality with that person. You have already committed adultery or fornication with that person. It's the same with these things we're talking about. So the fact that say, well, that person did not know I'm angry at her does not mean the fact that you have not even verbalized the anger, you have not spoken it out, you have not expressed it, doesn't mean it has not happened. So immediately there is anger in your heart, in your soul. Before God, you are a murderer. Little there is hatred. Yeah, it is murder in the realm of the spirit. So this is why you must get rid of those things. They are witchcraft. Yeah. Which then I'm going to talk about pride. Then I'll round off the teaching in Luke chapter 22, verse 24 to 27. Now I'm talking about pride as another character that sinks people into witchcraft. Pride. Luke 22, verse 24-27. Luke 22:24-27. And there was also strife and there was also a strife among them which of them should be accounted the greatest? And he said unto them, the kings of the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and he that exercise authority upon them are called benefactors. But ye shall not be so, because he that is greatest among you, let be as the younger, and he that is chief, as he that doth serve. 27, for whether is greater, he that seated at meat, or he that served, is not he that seated at meat, but I am among you as he that served. Now, let's read these same verses for you in New Living Translation. Luke 22. Luke 22 verse 24 to 27. New Living Translation. Then began to argue among themselves about who would be the greatest among them. Jesus told them, in this world, the kings and great men lord it over their people, yet they are called friends of the people. But among you it's different. Those who are the greatest among you should take the lowest rank, and the leader should be like a servant. Who is more important, the one who sits at the table or the one who serves? The one who sits at the table, of course, but not here. I am among you as one who serves. Yeah, Jesus Christ is saying that not in the kingdom of God would the one who sits at the table become greater than the one who serves. It is like that in the world, but not in the kingdom of God. So whoever wants to be the greatest in the kingdom of God must be the least, must be must take the lowest rank, must humble himself. So whoever wants to be the greatest in the kingdom of God must be the servant of everyone in the kingdom of God. So I realize that pride is one of the factors that has led many into witchcraft, and that has made many go deep into witchcraft. Imagine the disciples, the apostles, were arguing among themselves about who would be the greatest. So that desire is in many people today, many Christians today, about who should be the greatest. I mean, the desire to be greater than others. Yeah, the desire to be greater than others. That desire is witchcraft. Yeah. The desire to rule over others. The desire to have others serve them, or the desire to have others serve you, that desire is witchcraft. So even if you can't do without being in the position God has placed you, in that position, let it always be in your mind that you're in that position to serve others, to rule by anyone. not to command anyone, not to force anyone to do anything for you, to serve the brethren, to serve others. So if you can have a servant heart, you definitely will be the greatest in the kingdom of God. You can humble yourself to the point where you serve others, you serve the brethren, you serve everyone, you choose to be the servants of all. That is how God will keep lifting you. And even as you keep going high, you keep going down to serve people. I don't know if you get it. So you go higher in God's kingdom as you go down in serving. Yeah. The more downward you go to serve, the more selfless you become. That you no longer care about yourself, but you care about others and what God will have you to do for others. That is how you become great in the kingdom of God. Yeah. So, and the more God keeps promoting you, the more you keep humbling yourself, and you keep going low to serve others. So that is the principle of greatness in the kingdom of God. Yeah, I'm going to stop here. If you have questions, you can ask on our Telegram platform. Let us pray. Father, we thank you because you're so faithful. Thank you for this teaching tied to witchcraft and character. Thank you, Lord, for this teaching. Thank you for showing us how we crossed into witchcraft through negative and unrighteous and ungodly and unclean character. And thank you for showing us that we can avoid these things. We can become better. And we can be pure in our character. I ask, oh Lord, that you help as many who have had this teaching and are determined to pursue after a clean and pure character. Oh Lord, help them in Jesus' name. I pray for you that you will not cross into the realm of witchcraft, both as a believer and as a minister. You will not cross into the realm of witchcraft. I pray that every sacrifice you offer to God shall be acceptable. They're creating you the right character that will help all that you do in His presence to please Him and to make Him happy. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father, because we know your answer. In Jesus' name we have prayed. Amen. Amen.